Welcome to episode 501 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Those who will be a part of the body of Christ and count themselves as believers have been called to be peculiar. There was a time when such a designation was proudly embraced and enthusiastically proclaimed. But just as that word has fallen out of favor and is dismissed by many as old-fashioned, so too are many of the implications of being so named. The potency of our mission, the effectiveness of our witness, the appeal of our lifestyle, and the import of our institutions have all been diminished by the fact that many of us have forgotten just how peculiar we are meant to be. Perhaps the most well-known use of the word is the phrase peculiar people, recorded in the King James Version of 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word peculiar, used in this instance, is derived from the Latin peculium. This word, in the context of Roman law, meant property belonging to a father or master that he allowed his child or slave to hold as his own. As used in this verse, it denotes a people for God's own possession. The earliest use of a word translated peculiar was in Exodus 19 verse 5, originally written in Hebrew. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. The word translated here as peculiar comes from an obscure Hebrew word, segula, that is related to property and superabundance. The Hebrew segula is found only 8 times in the Septuagint. It can refer to a royal treasure of gold and silver. However, most often it is a reference to God's people. Other versions of the Exodus text replace peculiar treasure with own possession, most precious possession, chief treasure, special people, own little flock, and specialty of all peoples. Diving more deeply into the etymology of the word from which peculiar is derived, peculium, one finds that this word means private property, or one's own property. Peculium has as its root the Latin picu, or cattle. As such, the literal meaning of peculium is property in cattle. From the earliest days of human civilization, cattle ownership was significant not just for the provision of milk and meat and as an important trade commodity, but as an important indicator of personal status. Cattle are part of the iconography of elite Egyptians. In biblical times, a man's wealth was measured by the number of cattle owned. Beef was a delicacy reserved for special occasions, served at special banquets, or when entertaining important guests. Cattle were sometimes used as currency. The modern word pecuniary, which means relating to or consisting of money, reflects this history. In Exodus 19 verse 5, God stakes his claim on the children of Israel. As creator and sustainer of the universe, this claim is indisputable. Nevertheless, the Lord makes a case based on what he has done for these formerly enslaved people to bring them out of bondage. While still in captivity, God instructed Moses to convey to the people the promise of Exodus 6 verse 6. I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. He adds that he will do this with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. After their deliverance, particularly after the crossing of the Red Sea and the wiping out of Pharaoh's army, God confirms that he has fulfilled his promise and he has taken a rightful possession of these people. Who is like you, O Lord? The people ask in the redemption song of Exodus 15. In verse 13, they confirm that they have been redeemed. In verse 16, they add that they have been purchased. God now offers these people who have been taken out of the pagan world the opportunity to enjoy a special status. If they obey his voice and keep his covenant, unimaginable privileges will follow. Blessed are those who leave behind the melons and leeks of Egypt, who in obedience to God follow him into the milk and honey of Canaan. It is a principle that applies today to those who would forsake the world for Christ. The next time the word peculiar is used to reference God's people is in Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. Here Moses repeats, almost verbatim, the words of Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. God's people are holy. They are special. They are peculiar. They have had the honor of being separated. Their special status is indicated, one, by having a God who redeemed them and now sustains them, and two, by having a God who has given them laws different than those of all other nations, and three, by having a God who has prescribed practices for them which, if followed, will enable them to enjoy greater health and prosperity. Given this, Moses declares in this his farewell passage, "It behooves you to act suitably to the dignity of your privileges and to beware of defiling yourselves with any such heathenish rites or passages as are either impious or absurd. Why behave like you are back in the enslavement of Egypt? Why debase yourself to behave like the heathen people of Canaan? You know better. You have been purchased by God himself, who has redeemed you through mighty works. You know better because you have received commandments written in stone by the very hand of God. You have received revelation for how to live abundant lives." The word peculiar was never intended to suggest odd or weird. Rather, it was meant to imply distinctive, different, special. It was intended to be used in tandem with the word holy, which means set apart, consecrated to God. Toward the end of his Deuteronomy message, Moses declares that the Lord has declared today that you are a people for his treasured possession, as he has promised you, and that you are to keep all his commandments. One can recognize God's special people, those who are distinctive, by their commandment keeping. And it is significant that Moses points out that these peculiar people keep all the commandments. When Jehovah established his covenant with Abraham, then confirmed this with his son Isaac, and then with Isaac's son Jacob, he sought to raise up a people who belonged to him, a people who would be peculiarly his. As his very own, these people would submit to his laws, unlike the rest of humankind, which was both lawless and idolatrous. In Psalm 135, verse 4, David affirms that the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. But we ought to contrast this treasure with the silver and gold accumulated by Solomon and spoken of in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 8. God's treasure is not intended to be ornamental. God does not collect his people and have them on display as shiny objects. Part of being special is recognizing one's status as set apart and acting on behalf of the one who set you apart. Paul adds to our understanding of what it means to be peculiar in his epistle to Titus. Of Jesus he declares, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." It is not enough to eschew iniquity. It is not sufficient to keep the commandments. Those who are peculiar are expected to engage in good works. Just as those in Old Testament time were to be distinctive by being law-abiding and faithful among the lawless and unrighteous, so Christ's followers were to be set apart. These people belonging to God would be pure and devoted to God, unlike the believers who were lost in their selfish sins. But besides living a distinctively different lifestyle, these peculiar people would engage unbelievers in good works. Father, help us to accept your invitation to be different. Empower us to live in obedience to your commandments. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.